your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie. Welcome to another Tuesday.
It is another Tuesday, and it's a cool Tuesday in Minnesota, finally.
Woo! I'm happy.
Some people are happy, people are not.
Heidi likes the heat, Steffi likes the cool. Oh, it's good. It's fall. I mean, soon it will be fall.
Soon, and that's something we're going to talk about tonight in a little bit, but for now... Yeah, it's but it is. This Tuesday came up fast, too. I know I say that all the time, but this one seemed especially fast.
I think we're just, I don't know. What is it? Time's just going by so fast for us, and I'm not
sure. I think that happens when you get older.
Well, be quiet. I'm only 21.
Me too. Oh, sorry. I'm older. You're not. Sorry about that stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, we know. It's funny. But yeah, you're right. It does. I mean, I feel like these weeks are just flying by, and it seems like, but you know what? I've been watching a lot of TV lately, which is unusual for me. What is going on?
That's weird.
I know. I sit out in the living room with Duncan by my side, and while Casey's finding all these really good shows on Netflix, we were watching this one called The Sinner. Oh my God, it's like a murder mystery. And Jessica Biel is in it and Bill Pullman. It's so good. It's like an eight-part.
I saw the first episode.
Yeah.
But I had to stop watching when she flipped out at the beach.
Oh, yeah. No, you got to watch it. It's really good.
I couldn't. I was like,
over the weekend. We were binge watching. So we finished it up, and there's a new season starting this soon. I don't know when. Sometime this autumn. But Jessica Biel won't be it anymore because that case is all done and over with. So Bill Pullman is the guy, you know, and so he starts with he's the detective or whatever, but a really good show. I'm plugging it because everybody should watch that one because I found it very, quite interesting. But anyway, so maybe, and you know, it is coming to the fall, so maybe it's time to just kind of hang out at home and watch TV, but I never do that. So what's going on with me?
Maybe you're getting into that energy of just nesting and coming back into the cave, and that's not unusual, you know, for folks in the northern hemisphere, or this northern, yeah, well, we're in the northern hemisphere, but, you know, in the cooler states, I should say. So,
yeah,
it's not unusual.
It's true. It's true. And, you know, that's one of the things we're going to talk about on the show tonight is the autumnal equinox and what it means and what happens, actually, other than the fact that, you know, it gets, you know, it's the transition period. But it has a lot of significance in the supernatural world as well. So we'll talk about that and just what everybody's been doing. And if you guys have any questions or have any other ideas that you might want to, you know, chat with us about, let us know. You know where the chat room is. So, yeah, Mike says, who's getting older? Yeah, not me. I'm going backwards. So I'm, you know, 21 now, I just told.
Yes, you are.
Oh, goodness. You know, maybe.
I don't know if I'd want to be 21 again.
No, me either. But, you know, it'd be nice to be 10 years younger, right? A decade?
I don't know.
No?
I don't know. I like where I'm at.
Yeah.
You look doubtful.
I'm like, okay.
You're like, wow, you're nuts.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we can't time just keeps moving on and we can't stop it. The only other alternative is death. So we all don't want to do that. We'll just keep getting older with wrinkles on our face and hopefully wiser. And, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
Always hopefully wiser.
So what'd you do this weekend, Heidi? You had a big weekend.
I did. So I do want to talk about it. It depends on when we want to talk about the fall equinox, I guess, because this could be, it could get to be a lengthy discussion. So, but I don't mind talking about it now because it was a lot of fun and we had a good time and interesting investigating. So I think we could start with it. So this weekend was I run a paranormal group. For those of you that know that or don't know it, I run Minnesota Paranormal Research Society, and I joined the group. It's actually our 10-year anniversary this month. We had the 10-year anniversary last week, and of when the group officially started. I joined about a month after it started when there was like 10 people in it or something. And now there's, I don't know, 1,800? Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe it's over 2,000.
I don't know. But
Because it's an open group and anybody can join. It's a society. It's Minnesota Paranormal Research Society. And so it's just a bunch of people that like talking paranormal, doing paranormal, thinking about it, debunking it, skeptic about it, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
And so I took over the group. I co-organized it for quite quickly after I joined. I ended up becoming a co-organizer, and then I ended up taking over the group probably 5 or plus years ago. And so 4 years ago, it must have been over 5 years ago. It must be 6 years ago. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. We lose track of time.
I'm losing track of my memory, apparently.
Yeah.
So probably about 6 years ago, I took over, and 4 years ago, we started the paranormal camping weekend.
Yeah, you're always talking about that, and every year I say, Heidi, I'm going to go this year, and it never happens.
That's all right, because we'll have more.
Yeah.
So in the fall, we have the paranormal camping weekend, because ideally, it is cooler out, and once, you know, maybe you get a couple of cool nights, and then you have no bugs or less bugs. And the first year that worked out, because the first year we were up just south of Duluth in, was it Jay Cook State Park? I think we were at, anyway. And it ended up being cold. It was cold enough that overnight the temperature went down to like 30 degrees.
Oh, so it was chilly.
It was really chilly. It was very, very uncomfortable sleeping. It wasn't uncomfortable the second night because I was prepared because I went and got an extra blanket.
Yeah.
But the first night was uncomfortable. And I said to Mother Earth, I said, hook a girl up. Following years, if we can have just a little bit more warm instead of, no rain. Like, I don't want rain. Rain on a camping weekend is just rotten.
Yes.
So if you could hook us up and give us a little bit of warm. And ever since then, it has been in
hot.
The 90s.
Yeah, because last year was hot too. I remember
you telling. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's been hot every weekend. So I don't know what I asked for. I apparently asked for a lot of
You know
heat.
What they say, be careful what you wish for.
I know. So it's been warm. And yeah, that Mike on the chat room saying that'll teach you to ask. It's true.
Yeah.
I did ask, and so she has answered, you know, strongly in favor of heat, I guess. So, but it's, again, I'll take it over the rain.
I'll
take cold. I'll take
rain
cloudy.
When you're in a tent.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
So it was, but it was fun. It was hot, but we still had a good time. And we always like to incorporate, of course, it's paranormal camping. Mm-hmm. We always like to incorporate something that has a little history to it, something that we can go investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And this year it was a little bit of a challenge because some of the things that we were hoping to look at were closed for the season. We didn't realize, but there was a few things that we were able to do outside of, you know, just the normal camping things. We like to have the campfire each night and we sit around the campfire and tell actual ghost stories.
Yeah.
You know, these are not ghost stories that are, these are our own experiences.
Yeah.
So that's always kind of fun that the ghost stories are real.
Yeah.
And then on Saturday, we usually go out. Sometimes we'll do a hike. Sometimes we won't. We didn't do one this year, but I think we'll put it back in next year.
Mm-hmm.
And just a hike around the forest or the state park. We always go to a state park because they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
And safe and all that good stuff. And then we like to stay in state parks that are near something historic. Mm-hmm. So we were, the first year we were up by Duluth, which we wanted to see the Glen Sheen Mansion mm-hmm. because that's one of our haunted sites here in Minnesota.
Yes.
And then we went to, we were over by Hinckley. Mm-hmm. We wanted to go where the great
fire,
the was it 1912 yeah. fire, was yeah. it 1914 fire, that was truly devastating. Thousands of people were killed, mm-hmm. and we wanted to go to not only the, just the fire museum to see, you know, some of the artifacts that were still preserved from that time, but also see if we could connect with any, if there's any lost souls that need help,
yeah.
you know, that had are still around from the fire. Yeah. And so we did that, and then we did last year we went to the Forestville Mystery Caves mm-hmm. because it's some caves here in Minnesota that are really neat, and we wanted to see, like, you know, outside of just spirit, you know, activity, is there anything about the formations and these caves that could
oh, yeah.
bring like some kind of energy
stuff? Yeah,
yeah. So we thought that would be a different twist on things, and there were some historic sites out on the state park as well, which was it was mm-hmm. really interesting. So it was just really fun. So this year we decided to go to the area of New Ulm, Minnesota, right. which is southwest of the Twin Cities, mm-hmm. a couple hours southwest, and it's a cute little town. It's a very German town.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see any of those guys walking around in their little outfits? What are they called?
Lederhosen.
Yeah.
No Lederhosen, which is perfectly fine.
Well, and there's a lot of them that do that, though, you know, there.
Yeah. We didn't see any.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how they would have done it wearing leather lederhosen.
Right, in that kind of beach.
But I suppose where there's a will, there's a way.
Exactly.
So we didn't see any of that, thankfully. But there were a couple of interesting sites that we wanted to go and check out. And one of the places that I ended up going was called the Milford Monument, and I'm going to look it up because I looked up something else here earlier, and it's down it's down just outside of New Ulm, okay. probably about 10 miles outside of New Ulm, and it's where Milford Township, I believe, was, which is no longer. And it was a township that was populated mostly by the German immigrants. Again, mm-hmm. well, very German. A lot of Germans came in the 1800s mm-hmm. and formed communities, mm-hmm. you know, here in the Americas. And so that was one of them.
Yep.
And this is an attack on August 18th, 1862.
Oh.
And more than 50 of their residents were killed, and it was one of the hardest hit communities during the war, which is it was the Dakota War.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just doing a little reading here, but anyway, it was they barricaded off the town, and you know it was under attack by Dakota Indians, and you know just doing some brief reading as we were there. You know, the Indians were upset because of broken
yes.
treaties.
Oh,
and, you know,
I mean, they had every right to wage war, honestly, you know.
So, well, they, you know, they were upset and they
yes.
attacked. And
yes.
So anyway, there's a historic marker now as yeah. a memorial, which, you know, and I was wondering, and I don't know, I don't want anyone to be upset with me saying, but right. it looked very settler focused.
Oh, of course,
you know,
because
and
that's how it is, right?
There, mm-hmm. It didn't seem like there was any memorial for the Native Americans that lost their lives. So I was
yeah,
wondering about
yeah.
that. So anyway, we decided to go to this memorial. We were going to go to the house that was the blacksmith. His house was one of the houses that was in the barricade area.
Okay.
So it's the only one of the only, I think there's five houses left standing from this massacre.
Oh, still to this day.
Yes.
Wow.
And so it wasn't open for us to get in there. So we looked probably like peeping toms and
looking in the windows and everything.
See if we could see anything in there. But anyway, so we didn't get into the building. So we went to this monument, and it's in a cornfield. So 10 miles outside of town, here's this monument.
Did you have to trudge through the roads?
No,
through the rows of corn?
Because
no.
They had made this park.
Okay.
in the corner of this cornfield.
Oh, okay.
So it's this groomed, beautiful little park, and you're surrounded by corn stalks and then road on one side. And it feels a little creepy.
Yeah.
Just because corn is
corn.
Yeah. The corn's
towering. Yeah.
And so we were, and so a couple of us went there, and then a couple more from our weekend showed up too. Okay. But before they got there, we had a few pieces of equipment out. I had a Mel meter, I had a K2 meter, and a spirit box. And we had another Mel meter, another K2, and a voice recorder. Mm-hmm. And so I took the spirit box out because I thought, well, let's just see what's happening here. See who's here. And for those of you, if you are familiar with the spirit box, I'll apologize for this description, but this is my understanding of a spirit box is that it's a little radio.
Yeah.
And you set it to scan frequencies,
yep,
radio station frequencies. And so you can set it to just constantly zoom through the radio station frequencies, and you can pick what speed you want to have it set at, and you can set it to forward or reverse, mm-hmm, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of ideas around how it works. Are, you know, is spirit using this static and scanning to communicate, you know, using their own words?
Yeah.
Or what I think is, are they able to use the words of the radio stations?
That's what I was
going to
say.
To pop out when they need it to express their,
yes,
what they want to communicate.
Yes.
That's kind of how I think it works, but yes, I know that
too. Yeah.
So I turn it on, I start the scan, and we weren't getting a whole lot in the beginning. You know, when we're talking, because they have this plaque there, mm-hmm, that has this description of, you know, some of the people that stood out from that time. You know, mm-hmm, here's some names, here's some people, here's what they did, here's how they suffered, blah, 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 blah. Okay. So we're asking, you know, is there anybody here from Milford Township?
Right.
What, New Ulm? Are you German immigrants? Are you,
yeah,
a settler? You know, we're asking all these questions, and we're really not getting anything. And I think we were there probably an hour total, and it was hot. So
yeah,
we were in the
cornfield. Oof, done.
Yeah. So we were standing a little bit away from the monument, but I'm like, hey, we're in the area anyway. Like, the monument's not going to make a difference, mm-hmm, if we're in the area. So we're standing there and trying, you know, looking at the little plaque and picking out people's names, and is so-and-so here, so-and-so here. And we're saying, hey, we're just here to talk to you. Can we help you? Is there anyone here that we can help or guide or give a message to someone? Mm-hmm. You know, do you want to just chat? Are you glad we're here? Not much. We're getting little blips, but nothing that we could hear,
yeah,
on the spirit box. And we weren't really getting any spikes on the K2 and millimeter. Here, my story is sounding boring. So then we decided to switch it up. And I don't know if it was Cindy or Tim or whoever said, you know, what about Native Americans?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And we had, you know, thought, you know, let's see, you know, is there any Native Americans here that want to talk with us?
Yeah.
And we started getting a lot of chatter on the spirit box. And so I thought that was interesting because we haven't moved.
Yeah.
We are in the same exact spot that we were when we asked these other questions. The spirit box is scanning the exact same frequencies, and it's just zipping through, not getting,
mm-hmm,
any hits.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it's like it's picking up all these radio stations all of a sudden.
Oh.
Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you can hear this,
yes,
little chirp coming through and little,
yes,
like blips of noise.
Absolutely.
And I thought, well, that was weird because that wasn't happening before.
Yeah.
So something is changing.
Yeah.
You know, and it changed right when we changed our line of questioning. And so we were asking, you know, were you upset, you know, about what had been done to you? Is there something we can do to help you? You know, were there other things that happened to you that are not part,
mm-hmm,
of the history?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is there something else you want us to know that happened? Can we help you? Can we give a message? You know, basically then the same questions that we were asking, but now we're talking to the Americans. And we kept hearing the word love.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It kept coming up. And like we heard love. And I hear, I love you.
Oh.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. And I said, well, I love you too.
Yeah.
And then the word lovely came up, like right after that.
That's interesting.
Right?
So what does all this mean?
And I did. I said, "Are you? Have you forgiven everybody? Have you? You know, what is it that you know? I mean, it felt like there was a lot of love energy. Mm-hmm. Like, had they forgiven what had been done to them? Or I didn't know. You know, I was mm-hmm. kind of guessing. But it really felt like there was some peace there.
Mm. Well, that's good.
I thought so. I mean, that's what I would take from it.
Yeah.
You know, this sense of peace. And Ghost Dance is asking in English. Yes, it was in English. I mean, for now. Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting question, because at this point, yes, it was in English. And we were asking in English. And actually, what was interesting is, now that you mention this, I have a little working knowledge of German. I took German when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
German language. And so because we're in a very German area, I had asked some questions in German and started introducing myself and everybody in German.
Yes.
And I still wasn't getting anything.
Yes.
No, nothing until I started asking about the Native Americans.
Yes.
And that's when I started getting lots of activity.
Yeah.
And we had asked, "Can we help you?" and all this stuff. And we'd hear, "No. Can we help you? No. Are you okay?" And they would, and I don't remember all the responses, but it was basically like, "We're okay.
Yeah.
We don't need help."
Yeah.
And then all this talk about love. And I'm like, wow, is that like this forgiveness that's been happening and you're okay? Or like, wow, I just didn't expect it, you mm-hmm. know, to hear all these words about love and things. So that was interesting. Well, and now Kat is saying the radio stations are speaking English.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm adding, of course, that yeah. it would be English.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is that we stopped getting some answers. So we were asking all these questions. We stopped getting communication. It just kind of flowed to, and we weren't really hearing, you know, we heard little blips, but we couldn't understand. And, you know, as paranormal investigators, sometimes your brain wanders
yeah.
a little bit, right? And so you start, you ask all the questions and nothing's really happening. So you start wanting to do something else
yeah.
and like, well, let's see if there's anybody else here. Or what are we going to do next? Where are we going to go next? And it was hot. I'm going to say it was hot.
Yeah, and I'd have been expired by now.
I'm going to tell you that I started saying we should go investigate a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Because yeah, like,
exactly, right?
You know, I'm like, hey, guys, maybe next stop we should go investigate a Dairy Queen and see if it's haunted while we eat ice cream. And yeah. so that's where my brain went. And I know that that's probably not the most mature place that I could go. And everybody else seemed to be okay with that idea. Like, hey, that sounds good. And this voice comes over the radio and says, "Mon Dieu." And
oh,
I hear
it. Mon Dieu.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It was clear as day. And I knew it was French. And I heard in my head, it's French. And
yeah.
I, like, someone was saying, like, don't miss this.
Yeah.
Pay attention. And I was like, oh. And we all heard it. And we all looked at each other and went, oh, my God. And then in English, because I said, are they upset? Because I'm talking about ice cream. Like, am I being disrespectful?
Yeah.
And then I heard, good Lord.
Oh.
Right after that. And they both sounded irritated.
Yeah. Like, are you going to talk to us, or are you all you're going to think about is ice cream? I mean, come on here.
You're in this historic yeah. place with all this energy. Yeah.
And all you can think about is DQ.
You're not getting what you want, so you start talking about ice cream. Like, yeah. you got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then I felt kind of dumb. And, yeah. So, it's like we were called on it by the spirits, I think.
You know, I'm wondering, though, if it were really Native Americans, I'm not sure many of those Dakota people back then could even understand English. I mean, do you think they could sense what you were asking in a more, you know, soul type of way that you would, you know?
Yeah.
But how would they communicate then via the radio in English? Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It's kind of an
because someone else asked that this weekend.
Yeah.
They said, well, because we said what we were doing, and they said, well, how do you know they understood what you're saying? And so we've asked our spirit guide this. Tim and I have talked to our spirit guide about this too, because we've been at different locations that they've spoken other languages.
Yeah.
And we said, well, how does this work? Like, how do we, I'm speaking English, they're speaking whatever they speak. How do we know? And the spirit guide said, there's this like a divine translator that you understand. And so sometimes, I mean, you can speak another language if you want, and they can answer you in that language if they want, but they don't have to if mm-hmm. they don't want to. Like, they can just speak, and it will translate as it needs to into a way that we can understand it.
Oh.
Like, it's a spiritual phenomenon, we'll call it.
Oh.
It just is. And so, because I've heard of people that, well, you have to speak the language to get
mm-hmm. So have I.
And
I think when we pass away, for example, you can communicate with any other souls who might be around you, correct? It doesn't matter if you're Norwegian or Swedish or Native American. Right. You know, if they're around you, you'll be able to communicate,
right.
even if you don't.
Because, right, because the concept of communication as we understand it is a human thing.
Yes.
And when we release our human bodies, we can communicate in ways that we don't have the ability to right now because we have these human bodies. So, anyway, sorry, it's Animal Farm. Animal Farm, Tuesday night.
And speaking of ice cream, my daughter just came out into our area here and took out the ice cream, and now she is shoveling away.
How many people right now are thinking of ice cream or eating it that weren't before? That's right.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Oh my God.
You are all welcome. So that's what our spirit guide has told us. And I've found that to be true too at other investigations yeah. is when we believe that, you know, they may not understand us. It's like, just ask the question, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. they're going to understand it. They can choose to answer however they want. If it's in a language that you don't understand, that's up to them, you know, but if they want to answer in a way that you're going to understand, they can do that. So, you know, if there's a spirit, I'll go back and say, if there's a spirit that's stuck, they may not have that capability
yes.
if they haven't fully exactly. released. So then that would be an exception that they don't know how to yes. express themselves because they're not in that place where they have this all-knowingness yet. So I'll extend my,
You know what might be an interesting investigation? So we're talking about the Sioux Uprising and the Dakota people, and wouldn't it be interesting, and it's kind of macabre, but, you know, that war ended with the murder of, like, 38 Dakota warriors. And I'm not exactly where that happened. They hung them all, you know, and wouldn't it be interesting to go down there and do a little investigation? I wish I knew where that was. Just saying, for the future, that might be something cool for us to do.
I think that's down by Mankato, isn't it?
I think it's by Mankato.
There's some markers there.
Should do that.
It's not a secret.
As right.
Well. Yeah.
It would be fun to do it in fall, like now, this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
We should think about that, see if we can slip down there for a couple of hours and see.
Yeah.
See, Ghost Dance, I bet, knows exactly where it is. Maybe he would come and help us. So that would be interesting. And Ghost Dance, you know the language, I think, or part of it. So anyway, sorry to get off kilter here, but it just made me think about it all. So
yeah. So anyway, that was... I got scolded a little bit, or you know, by spirit, because they probably just thought I was some dingling,
yeah.
you know, because here's this important place, and I'm talking about Dairy Queen. I'm like, well, I'm sorry, but you guys weren't saying anything, and it's hot out here. You guys forget what it's like to have human bodies, maybe, because dang hot.
Yeah.
And anyway, so we did go to Dairy Queen, and it was not haunted, but we sure enjoyed it. So, we got scolded a little bit. I think they were exasperated with us.
Well, Stance is saying there's a powwow this weekend. The Dakota 38 plus 2, I can't go this weekend. I have too much going on, but boy, I sure would like to.
Yeah, it would be interesting to do an investigation there and just see.
I think we need to get that together, Heidi. Let's work on that. Let's look at our schedules after the show. See if we can figure it out. Because that would be awesome, and I bet we could get Ghost Dance to come with us. Anyway, but so what else did you do down there? So you investigated the site, and then you went to the Shell's Brewery, because the first thing I said was, oh, that's where the Shell's Brewery is.
And I said, yes, we did go there.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we did go. They have a little brewery museum there, mm-hmm. and I wanted to check out the museum too and just see mm-hmm. if any of the equipment had energy, and it didn't really, but the grounds it's really beautiful there, and it's kind of designed like this old German town, and the brewery actually looks like a little old German town, which I think is adorable.
I've been there before, so yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah. And that was cute. And some people went to this artist house. I can't remember her name now, that's in the area. She's apparently a pretty famous children's book writer. And it was her house. I don't know if she grew up in it.
It's not Lorraine Goes Wild here, is it?
No. Although some people went to her. Some people went to the sod house.
Yeah.
That's out there. The one that she lived in, I think, for a while.
Yeah, I forget where that is, but that's up close out there, too.
Yeah, Sleepy Eye or Sleepy Walnut Eye. Grove. Or
Walnut
something.
Grove, that's where something it is. Like that. Yeah, they were also going to Sleepy Eye, though, in the books. But
So there were some people that went there and had some interesting, you know, I don't know that they caught any evidence, but just had, it was a pretty cool, you know, experience. So people kind of scattered during the day just to check out different sites.
Yeah,
it was fun. So we're trying to figure out where we're going to go next year and, see, you know, try and look for a place that has some history close by that we can go without too much trouble kind of out and check things out and go on a little extravaganza. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So Mike says, well, maybe he was saying, my God, I miss ice cream. Ghost Dance is saying, we're hanged in the largest military execution in U.S. history on December 26th, 1862. So, Dave, this is why they have the warriors who ride from South Dakota, correct, to Mankato the day after Christmas. This is why you go there, and I'm going to come there with you this year. But I think it would be awesome to go there and do an investigation. Just saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to get that together. Is it time? It's 8:31. Yes. It's past our time for break. So we will leave you for just a couple of minutes, and we will be back. Stay tuned with This is the Parent X Network, and we are The Gathering.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
It is the secret of the world that all things subsist and do not die, but only retire a little from sight and afterwards return again. Nothing is dead. People find themselves dead and endure the mock funerals and mournful obituaries. And there they stand, looking out the window, sound and well, in some new and strange disguise. This secret must be told to the world, and they must tell it. Because they're not dead, we know this, and we'll prove it. So join Mike and Dave every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Odyssey Files. Only on Para-X.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
I am on. The great and powerful. Who are you?
If you please, I'm Dorothy, the small and me. I've come to ask you...
Silence! The great and powerful Oz knows why you have come. Step forward, whippersnappers. Bring me the broomstick of a witch.
Marla's broom? But if we do that, we'll have to kill her to get it.
Bring me her broomstick, and I'll grant your request. Now go.
But what if she kills us first?
I said go!
What's that? What's that?
It's Marla's castle guard. And look, there's her broom, right in front of the gate. Go get it.
All right, I'll go in there, witch or no witch. Guards or no guards, I'll tear them apart.
Oh, no, you won't. Don't think of leaving. My little party's just beginning. I always stir my cauldron Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network. Now back off from that broom or I'll turn you into Toto's chew toy.
I do believe in witches. I do.
Welcome back to The Gathering here on the Para-X Network. and we've been chatting about some paranormal investigating that we did this weekend and some interesting spirit box activity. So I'm excited to get into that audio, though, because I think the audio will give us a little bit more. And if we have anything that's interesting, we'll play it here on the radio, because I think it's always fun to share clips like that. So, but we just have to get through the audio, and you know, it's just haven't had time yet.
You know, for people who aren't investigators, you know, it takes a couple hours to investigate something, and it's many, many, many hours of going over data. So unless you're like ghost hunters and you actually have an entire day with the entire team to go through all the stuff.
Well, it's your job to do it then.
Yeah, exactly. But for those of us who have a day job, you know, it sometimes takes a while to get this stuff done. The only reason we had our stuff done from last weekend was because we had 12 hours to drive. So it was easy to go over that last weekend.
We were held hostage.
We were in a car. But anyway, normally it doesn't happen that fast. I wish it would, because it's kind of fun when you can do it right away, because you exactly remember what happened when you were there and it's who fresh. Was there and what was, yes, where you might not think about that a few days after the fact. But most of us just don't have time like that.
Yeah. But we'll get it. You know, I was doing a recording for about paranormal investigating. I was trying to come up with the ratio of evidence, you know, going over evidence with how much. And it's almost like there's, I would think, like 3 to 1, you know, of investigating versus review.
Yes.
You know, you're spending an hour investigating, you'll spend 3 hours in review for every hour that you investigate. Yes. And it might even be more than that.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of equipment you have. Like if you have more than one voice recorder, then you can double that. And if you have a video recorder, there's more. And if you have lots of photos, then there's all that time. And when you're looking at photos, you really have to look at everything in each photo, because it's really easy to miss something. And then when you find something, it's like you just scream out loud, which is what I do. Oh, my God, look at this. So it does. It takes a long time. It does take a long time. Mike is saying, please do share recordings when you get them.
Yes, so, I will.
For sure. We'll go back to that at that point.
Well, yes, we'll share as we get evidence. So that's what I was working on. So it's that was really fun, and we had a good time. And it was hot, and I still have to figure out where I'm going to go next year.
Yep. Well, yeah,
because next year is the 5th annual.
Oh, another anniversary kind of thing going on. That's cool.
Yeah, 5th annual paranormal camping. So,
I love it. Wow. So I am, you know, I talked about Maiden Rock before on the show and how crazy it is up there. And we've been trying to get back there for 2 years, and we have it on our schedule to go back this weekend, and the weather is supposed to be perfect. But guess who has a knee issue now? I do. So I'm hopeful that I can actually get back up there, but we'll see. But we have, the team is going, and I am going to try my best with a walking stick and see if I can. I'm going to get up there from hell or high water, Heidi, and that's just all there is.
Well, just be careful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I can't wait, because like I said, we've been meaning to do this. And like we said, there's something that's telling us not to go, because every time we plan on going, we can't go for some reason. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me that I'm not supposed to go. I don't know, but I'm sure going to try. So we'll see if we have any more luck getting some evidence about what happens up there on the top of Maiden Rock, because I thought it was quite significant the last time we were there. So we will wheelchair. Yes, Jerry, thank you. I don't think we could take a wheelchair on those crazy hiking twisty turny trails. But you guys might have to carry me down. I'm just saying. So so that's what I've going on this weekend for a paranormal investigator. I'm really excited about this one, because I wanted to do it for a very long time. So hopefully we'll get some evidence of the maiden still being up there. On Maiden Rock. And we've shared the story. If you don't know it, you know, let us know. But it's a common story here in Minnesota and Wisconsin. It's beautiful. So I'm going to look out over Lake Pepin, too, and see if I can see Peppy. Peppy sighting.
Right?
We'll call her. Peppy, here we are.
Come here.
We do have to delve in that a little bit, I think. You know, I have that friend on Facebook now who's a full-time researcher of the Lake Champlain monster called Champ. So I'm hopeful I can get a few pointers from her on how to look for Peppy. But, I mean, she does it every day. That's what she does for a living. Isn't that crazy? I don't know if she gets grants or how she works it, but, man.
That's cool.
Wouldn't it be great? Oh, yeah, because every day she's got pictures of her out there with, you know, and one day there was some kind of movement in the water and wasn't from anything known. So, yeah, I mean,
wow.
Isn't that wild?
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping to get her on the radio show. She said October, so I have to pester her a little bit more. So hopefully we'll get her on here in not too long of a time, maybe in a month or so. But so that's happening. And then, you know, our next big event is Paracon weekend in October, which is a big, big weekend here in Minnesota. Heidi, we're going to have a lot of fun with that one.
I know. I'm excited for it. There's some interesting people that are going to be there. Some people that haven't been there before are coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the, I guess, bigger names, you know, if we talk about some of the big names from Paracon.
Nick Graff is going to be there. We just saw him down at CryptidCon. And Elizabeth Saint. He's a really nice guy. I got to say, I did chat with him for a little while down there. And so he's all ready to come to Paracon. He's excited. I asked him about that. And, you know, Grant Wilson, of course, will always be there, and Steve Gonzalez. So I'm hoping that we can get some of these people. Maybe we can do a little interview that we can play the following week or mm-hmm. whenever we have time. Because I think that would be really fun. You know, we've had Steve on our show before, and he was a great guest. Great guest.
He was fun.
He was awesome. And, you know, Dave Tangle will be there again. Chip Coffee is going to be there this year, which he hasn't been there for a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, there's just Lauren Coleman will be there, of course. So hopefully maybe we can get him on the radio, too, for a little while. And Austin Emilio from The Walking Dead. I'm not a Walking Dead fan, so I have no idea who is. But for people who watch that show, he's going to be there, too. So it'll be fun. We always say it's the para family reunion, you know, because it's the one time of the year we get to see everybody and, you know, hang out and just have fun. And, you know, it's good.
Yeah, I always look, and I've been at it before I started having a booth at it. And it was a lot of fun then, and having a booth is really fun too. Just seeing it from a different perspective, you know, you can. Stephanie's leaving.
No, I'm on. I'm just seeing what's going on with the kitty, so she doesn't totally disrupt the show.
We're on animal alert here at Stephanie's house.
We went to get ice cream. For those of you, she was corralling the animals, and then she, when we were talking about ice cream, now our ice cream wasn't good enough, so she had to go buy some. but yeah, so Paracon is happening. That'll be really fun. Squatchers, you know, we'll have Heidi will be there with My Spirit Experience and the MPRS, and then Squatchers will be next to that, and then Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota, my paranormal group. So Squatchers will be in the middle of those two. So we're all going to be in a row, in a line. So it'll be fun. It'll make for a really good time, I think. I don't know if we'll get anything done, but, you know.
Well, we're going to have to get stuff done.
I don't know
about you, but...
Because, you know, there's thousands of people that come to this, and so you are busy chatting with people all day, every day, and there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. And it's very fun. Oh, it's very fun. So then we get to visit with our para families after hours, I guess is what we need to say.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. And you know, it's only a few weeks away. It's weird.
It's like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Is it 3 weeks? Maybe 4 weeks.
I think it's actually less. Two and a half.
Don't say that. I'm not ready.
No, I think it's like 2.5 now.
I'm not ready.
So much for wanting more. It's actually less than 3 weeks. So, so that's going to be pretty exciting. And, you know, as we have, Stephanie's going to go and manage the cat.
I have the cat here. So if you hear a little weirdness, that's me walking around the house.
Thankfully we have, wireless is the word I'm looking for. Can you guys hear the cat? She's going nuts. You guys can probably hear that.
She wants a little water, so I'm going to give her a little water because that's how we roll here in this house.
Well, and we want to talk too about the equinox that's coming.
Yes.
Too.
So that's happening on Saturday, and it's the big fall equinox, which is always one of my, I really like the fall. So It's kind of a mysterious supernatural, all those things. Plus, the weather's nice. It's, you know, sunny and 65, which is hoodie weather, which is my favorite time of all.
It is really beautiful here in Minnesota in the fall, so I do appreciate that. As much as I'm sad that summer is leaving, it is a really beautiful time, and it is a little bit magical. Yeah. I think more magical. I won't say more. It's not that there isn't magic the rest of the year. It's just different type of magic, and so I feel like the fall is just a little extra magical. It feels, you can feel the change, just like all the other seasons, you can feel the shift, but fall does have some kind of a crackle in the air. That is just, you just don't have that in the other seasons.
No, and it's, you know, the word equinox comes from the Latin word equus, which means equal, and nox, meaning night. And so what it means is the day, the daylight equals the nighttime darkness. And they say there's much magic during this time of year. And that's, I do believe that. I think there is a lot of magic going on. But this is the fall time of year. So this is when the veil will thin out. You know, spirits have an easier time catching our attention, although I will say spirits have been catching my attention all summer long this year. So I'm not sure what's going to happen when all this happens. Are they just going to be constantly surrounding us or what? It's kind of a scary thought, actually. Because this year has been crazy in many different ways, so it's, you know, this is the time of, we remember our ancestors and those who have gone before us. And, you know, Samhain is a big deal. If you're, you know, I've been to Samhain festivals and ceremonies, and they're actually phenomenal. Love it. If you have a chance to go to one, be sure to do that. You know, and then there's Halloween. There's your Halloween open house.
Yeah.
Which is on what day this year, Heidi?
It's a Friday before Halloween. What is that, the 26th?
Oh, it's on a Friday this year.
It is.
That's nice. Last year was like in the middle of the week or something.
It was on a Thursday the last few years, and I don't know why I had it on Thursday. I got stuck in that weird rut, so I moved it to Friday the 26th of October. So I think it'll be easier for people to get to it. So that in itself is its own festival. I'll admit that's a pretty good festival. Mm-hmm. One of the other things, too, that I like to talk about, and I'm going to have a meditation this weekend that will focus on it as we're in the equinox energy, is really looking at the fall as a time of, it's the time of year to honor the harvest.
Yeah.
And I talked about this a couple of weeks ago at one of my other meditations of just, if you're not actually harvesting food, it's a time to look at the abundance of your life, you know, and look at what you have planted that has come to fruition in your life, you know, whether it's something short term or just long term in your overarching, you know, life path. So that's one of the things that I talked about in a couple weeks ago at a meditation was, you know, allowing ourselves to go in and just look at what we do have to be thankful for, you know, as this is a time of harvest and a time of abundance. And if you're not finding anything, stretch yourself, you know, because there's always something. And so to be thankful, or at least look at what you do have to be grateful for in your life. So, and it's a time too, as we are, you know, if you look at the changing of the seasons and crops and things like that, as we start to clear away or lose, you know, what looks to be abundance, as we have leaves on the trees and they start to fall to the earth, the trees is losing its leaves. It's clearing the slate to get ready for a quiet and the dark. And, you know, same with cutting down the crops and kind of clearing the ground as we're ready to go into this, you know, as we prepare to go into the cycle of hibernation or going, you know, within the cave or going into the dark season. You know, it's that time to celebrate before we clear everything away to start new. And so it is a, you know, it's a time of celebration. It's a time of abundance. It's a time to, you know, honor those, that which we have that cares for us, that, you know, thanking Mother Earth for everything she provides for us. And, you know, honoring that time of abundance and what can we do to be thankful or grateful for what we do have, and thankful to Mother Earth to for everything that she's provided for us, you know, this time as well. So those are some of the things that I like to think about as well at this time as we move into this equinox. So we've had a couple of chat room
Don't want to be in a cave all winter. But you know what? I feel like we are in a cave all because
well,
it gets pretty
and it's
soon,
metaphorical,
right?
Technically.
And pretty soon it'll be dark when we get up and dark when we go to work and dark when we come home. So it's like everybody wants to go to bed at 7 o'clock, right? Because you feel like you're just, oh my God, I have to go to bed, you know? So I do feel like we're in a cave, even though we're really not.
So, yeah. And Mike, no, who said, oh, Fred, the only thing I do like about winter is that the grass is not growing.
Yeah, but then we have to plow the snow. Okay, so maybe the grass isn't growing, we have to cut it, but then we have to, you know, clear the sidewalks and the driveways.
Yeah.
You live in Minnesota, Fred. I'm not sure where you live, but in Minnesota, it's more work in the winter, actually, than it is in the summertime, yeah. You know.
Anyway, I just, I do like the fall energy for that, yeah. Just that abundance energy. And it is a little bit more magical. It's a little bit, you know, mystical. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, it does get dark earlier. Yes. You know, we talk about this going into the cave, but also every time we have a transition, it's the thinning of the veil.
Yes.
You know, we talk about this time of year, and you even talk about Halloween, and the veil is thin. And yep. But we forget that any time there is a transition,
the veil
it's
is thin.
Veil.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But
so
this time of year, we just automatically think of the dead and things that are happening because things are dying. You know, the plants are all dying. Everything's dying. It's that time of year. A lot of people die at this time of year, right? And in the wintertime, so it is kind of that finality or something, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, it is an interesting time of year for that. And I think it does, you know, it makes you think a little bit differently as you move into this darker, you know, evenings get darker, mornings are darker. It shifts your perception. You know, you mm-hmm. think a little bit differently about things. When I'm letting my dog out at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning now, mm-hmm. I have to bring a flashlight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And things feel a little bit creepier.
Yeah.
You know, if I go outside at, you know, 9:30 at night, where before I would be able to sit in a lawn chair and look at the sky and the sunset, now I'm bringing out a flashlight.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I can see where I'm going, and every little noise, mm-hmm. you know, makes me look around, and mm-hmm. the animals are starting to come in from wherever they were that you didn't see them throughout the summer. So it's just, it is a little bit of, like a little creepier, you know, I'm hearing at the paranormal camping, we heard lots of owls and coyotes.
Oh, yeah, they're coming back now. See, so their young have been reared and moved away from them. So they're coming back to their home territory. I can't wait to see my owls. Now I haven't seen them for several months. So I'm going to start going back to the park because they'll be back soon. You know, my pair. Can't wait to see them. But yeah, this is the time of year then when we start seeing them. But, you know, our whole schedule's kind of changed, too. Like, I used to get up, take the dogs for a walk, shower, then get ready for work. But now I get up because neither of my dogs like to be out in the dark anymore. Duncan is a little bit blind, I think. And he's not blind, but he can't see very good. And I think the dark is not good. And Melly only has one eyeball. So, so now I get up and shower, and then I take them for a walk after it's light outside because they enjoy it so much more. So do I. You know what I mean? I mean, I let them outside right away, but we don't go for a walk until later now. So we do change, you know, mm-hmm. as the seasons roll around, we change up our whole routines and this, that, and the other thing. But it is creepy out in the morning. It is really creepy out in the morning, I think, you know, when you're up at 5:30 and you're walking. But now they're talking about Christmas in July.
Oh, we're not talking about Christmas anymore.
You know what? I did notice that right next to the Halloween decorations in the store the other day, there was a few Christmas decorations. And I'm like, really, 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 really? Come on. This is just too early.
Yeah, it's never too early for retail. So, but yeah, I do like this time of year. And I'm excited for all the events that are coming up that are really allowing us to, you know, kind of express our witchier side, I guess I'll say,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
and just, and have a little fun with it and play with it and explore and expand the, just this time of year. Get the one out of here.
Casey brought us chocolate chip cookies.
Distractions all night. We're going to stop having the radio show here. Did you get out of here?
So, I mean, things change Fall is fun. Fall is like my definite favorite time of year. So creepy as it is, and we start seeing more spirits running around, and because it's easier for them to get through.
It is, and it's funny. I've seen so many just recently full body apparitions, and I mean, I see spirits anyway, but they are just bold right now, and they can. I don't know if it's because they can really manifest or what's going on, but they just stand and stare and walk around and like they own the place. I'm like, hey, if you could do some dishes while you're in there, that would be great. I would appreciate it. You know, someone pick up the laundry, get that out of the dryer. That would be helpful. Mm-hmm. If you're all going to be here, make yourself useful and help a girl out.
Yeah.
So
do something for us. Oh, for goodness. Yeah. No, like I said, you know, chocolate chip cookies, Mike. So they're really good. But I've been seeing, you know, we've talked about this before, but I've been seeing things all summer long, and it's just prevalent. It's like everywhere I go, I see something. So yeah,
it's been crazy.
After this equinox happens on Saturday, it's just going to be a little bit crazy.
Yeah. Well, and then we have the full moon, which will make it a little bit more nutty.
On Monday.
And then we hopefully will start to settle down a little bit. And then Halloween will come, and we'll be back up in the craziness again. So October is a blur.
It happens, yeah.
So,
and then soon it'll be daylight savings time will end, which will be nice because then we'll gain that hour back. You know, I'm just saying.
Well, an hour of dark. Which,
well, that's true.
I don't know about that. Anyway.
So I was just looking at ancient autumn traditions. You know, and the Mayans built a giant pyramid called the Chichen Itza. On the equinoxes, it looks like as if a snake made of light slithers down the pyramid steps. Oh, I never knew that. That's interesting. And, of course, Stonehenge in England was built with the equinoxes and solstices in mind, so they'll have a big celebration over there. But, yeah, fall equinox has been a day of celebration for cultures since ancient days. People track the transitions of the Earth's journeys around the sun, which, yes. So, anyway, get out there, people. Get out there and, you know, be mindful of all the things you have to be thankful for and the bounty of your life and everything on the actual equinox. And, you know, just thank Mother Earth and be cognizant of what's happening and those who went before us. And that'll happen later, you know, like towards
Samhain,
which is typically anywhere from what, like the last week of October till maybe mid-November. I don't really know that there's a specific date for Samhain, but that's kind of the whole time frame. It's amazing. I'm looking at all these different sites all over the world here that are built with equinoxes in mind, and sure wish we had one here in Minnesota. Wouldn't that be fun to go to? But we can have our own little thank you and build a fire in your backyard that night. That would be awesome.
Absolutely.
To say thank you and welcome and everything else that happens. So, you know what? We're down to the last 2 minutes of the show already again.
I know. That's flown by.
Yes.
So we will be back next week. And I don't know if we'd be at Superfan Anita's next week. I can't remember
either, because was it this...
We'll figure it out. And if you guys have any topics for shows, anything you want us to chat about, please send us through our Facebook page or our website at thegatheringradio.com.
Yes.
And thank you to ParaX Network. Thank you to Sarge, our awesome producer. Thank you to everybody who is in the chat room with us tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody out there, wherever you are, that was listening to us tonight.
We had a good time. It was awesome. Everyone,
thank you.
We'll see you same place, same time, same bat channel a week from tonight. Night, everyone.
Good night.